Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. And of course, she is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. There we go. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How you doing?
Good. Your thoughts on this Deshaun Watson lawsuit, this latest lawsuit. Your thoughts?
Well, it's something that the Browns obviously have to look into and gather more information about. It's something the league has to do the same about. I think they're in the early stages of figuring this out because this kind of came as a surprise to most people yesterday when Mike Florio broke that news. So we'll just have to see what the next steps are. I don't know if this is something where perhaps they'll reach a settlement and it will kind of quickly go the way of the other lawsuits that were settled. This once again is a civil suit. The plaintiff is seeking $1 million in damages. So we'll just see if maybe a settlement can be reached. And if not, we'll have to see what the, what the NFL decides about this and also what the Browns do.
Mary Kay, if this were to ever lead to a possibility of the Browns being able to get out of the contract, would you?
Well, I think the Browns want their $230 million investment to work out. I don't think they, right now, at this moment in time, are seeking to or want to get out of the contract. I don't know that that's the case. We haven't really talked to anybody yet, but the whole entire process, they've wanted nothing more than go out onto the football field and play good football for them and live up to his potential. So I don't know if this is going to change that for them or not, but I think that they're hoping that this probably is settled like the rest of them.
Hmm. Are you surprised that the team hasn't said anything yet or that the league, other than we're not going to comment on this, or do you expect a comment from the team?
I would expect, yes, they're going to have to address it at some time in the very near future. I mean, when we get out there tomorrow, Deshaun Watson is set to talk to us on Wednesdays. We will be talking to him about the game. And, of course, you will end up having to ask him about this. I'm sure he's on it while the legal process plays out. But I do believe that the Browns are going to have to address it at some point very soon.
Statement by the Browns? Or would they have Kevin stand out there? What do you think the best way they should handle this, Mary Kay? I would think a statement and then get Kevin off the hook. Andy and I were talking about that before.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just going to say that you're going to, gather your information and let the legal process play out, you can do that in a statement. But I would think that something would have to occur before they put Deshaun Watson in front of us tomorrow, unless they decide to hold him off for another day or something. I don't know. They're probably coming up with their strategy for this right now. I don't know what it is yet, but certainly something to figure out how they want to handle it. It's a bad, obviously, it's a bad look for everyone involved in terms of, I'm sure that the Browns thought that this sort of thing was behind them. I'm sure Deshaun Watson thought that this was behind him as well. So something that has to be dealt with. It's a serious matter, and the Browns really have to investigate. The league has to investigate, and they have to arrive at what the next steps are.
Mary Kay, you think it had any influence on the way he played on Sunday? I mean, let's face it, if he knew this was coming, not to mention he loses his father last week and one of his teammates from Clemson got shot and killed last week. So, I mean, it's not exactly it'd be understandable if he was in a tough mental state.
I don't know if he knew this was coming or not. I know they've tried to settle it. So I don't know if he knew that the lawsuit was going to be filed and that it was going to be filed right now after this game. I have no idea about that. I think more so than anything that if he had anything on his mind, it was those two losses that you're referencing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this was forefront in his mind.
Can we talk football?
Sure. Let's talk some football.
Deshaun didn't play well the other day. The offense didn't play well. The running game wasn't there. You had DeJuan Jones at tackle, which to me is fine. James Hudson was on the other side. What did you think was the biggest issue with the offense?
Well, I think it started with Deshaun. He did not play well at all, but I don't think anybody played particularly well. I think that the Cowboys came in with a really great game plan of a lot of blitzing, a lot of confusing fronts, a lot of things that they did disguise-wise, and they knew that was going to happen, but they really just couldn't handle it. They weren't really ready for it necessarily, and when you fall behind, then you lose your ability to run, and you've got to go in to try to play catch-up mode, and that's always difficult without your left tackle out there, and I just think it was kind of a recipe for disaster. It got away from them early on, and they just were never able to recover, and again, nobody played well, including Deshaun Watson. And coming off of the surgery, coming off of being out since November, it just was a bad game by him and everyone else. There were drop passes. There were penalties. It was just a bad, bad look by the whole brand-new offense. And we shouldn't be shocked by that because they never really spent too much time working together. There was not a lot of time on task. So I don't think that it should be absolutely shocking why this happened, but they need to get it fixed very quickly. They have to find out what they can do and what they can accomplish because they've got some really, really good rushers that they're going to be facing down in Jacksonville.
All right, not to go back, but is there any chance Deshaun Watson doesn't play this week because of what's going on?
I don't know the answer to that. I doubt that. I mean, the only way that would happen is if they put him on the commissioner's exempt list, and I haven't heard anything about that yet. Again, everyone's kind of buttoned up on this right now, and we're still all trying to gather as much information as we possibly can. As of right now, it's all systems go, and at this point, I don't know if that will change.
I thought it was interesting, Mary Kay. Andy and I kicked this around yesterday. The defense didn't have a great game, but they actually gave up fewer yards than they gave up last year per game when they were ranked number one defense in giving up the fewest number of yards. I thought the defense was put in a really bad spot numerous times and didn't think they played a bad football game. What did you think?
Well, I don't think they played a very good first half, and they were part of the reason that the Browns obviously got themselves into the hole that they did in that first half. So there was a obvious miscommunication on the 21-yard touchdown. And then, of course, they came back and gave up another 78-yard drive in the second quarter. And now you're talking down 14-3. And it didn't help that the offense then went three and out and couldn't stay on the field. But then they come back out and make it 17-3, 23 by the halftime. So I don't think that you can exonerate the defense by any stretch of the imagination because they did not have a good first half.
How close do you think Jed Wills and Jack Conklin are? Like, I wonder how close they were to actually playing on Sunday, and then I wonder what they're going to if there's an opportunity for either one of those guys next week.
Well, Jed wasn't close because he only practiced very sparingly, so he was not close. And Jack seemed to be closer, but he must have gotten through the end of the week and just they all decided, put their heads together collectively and realized that he just wasn't there yet. So I don't know if 1 week gets you much more than you had last week. I would say maybe they're going to give him a little bit more time to get back to where he needs to be, because you don't want to lose him early on. You don't want to rush him back. That was a major, major surgery that he went through.
Can we draw any conclusions from the offense based on Ken Dorsey's offense, Kevin Stefanski's? The thing just looks so discombobulated, Mary Kay. I'm having a hard time trying to figure out exactly who was doing what and what kind of an offense they were actually trying to run. I was surprised they didn't run the ball very often, because even in the first half, you know, you weren't out of it enough that you had to throw like crazy.
Yeah, but, I mean, you do quickly get away from the run game when you start to be down 14-3, 17-3, and you get into a sort of a hurry-up situation. But there were also, as you guys know, there were dropped passes. There was one, I'm sure you saw, that David Njoku caught the ball, slipped onto the turf. Then he dropped another pass in the right flat. Elijah Moore dropped a pass over the middle. Amari Cooper dropped a pass that would have been a touchdown. Yep. So it was just a collective bad game. And I think they really need to just watch the film, see what they can do better, see what they can take out of the playbook, see what they can put in that will make everybody feel confident, because Deshaun has got to feel confident. And he was completely off that game. He was off on his throws. I don't know if he was just so out of it with everything that had happened over the weekend that he just couldn't pull himself together. It's really hard to say. Usually a professional quarterback can overcome those kinds of things and get in the zone. I don't know if he was rattled by what the defense was doing to him early on, but he just didn't look right at all. And hopefully that he can get it together for this weekend.
All right. I guess if you're the coaching staff, you got to be looking in the mirror on yourself in this one, too. I mean, we can sit here and talk all about the players, but like, I just don't think it's the small penalties, the lining up wrong, all those things. I just think that's on the coaching staff. And I think that that's about discipline. And I can't remember the last time where I walked out of a game going, man, not only did they get outcoached, they weren't ready. And I think that's, you know, that's a coach's number one primary job, is to make sure that the team's ready, and they didn't look ready. I mean, you kind of alluded to it in the beginning.
Yeah, there were a couple of things conspiring against them. First of all, Micah Parsons wants to show the world that he is the best edge rusher in the NFL. He is sick and tired of taking a back seat to Myles Garrett. He came in here ready to play with his hair on fire, and he did that. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have your correct left tackle situation, that's kind of a recipe for disaster there. But he kind of did his damage all over the line, all over the whole entire offense. So that didn't help matters. Then you had Mike Zimmer coming in here. He was Kevin Stefanski's boss in Minnesota, and I think he had something to prove, too. He's been out of the game for a couple of years, and he was just going to lay it all out on the line and make sure that Deshaun, coming off of surgery, knowing that he was rusty, knowing that this was a new offense, knowing that they weren't going to be ready to play fast, he did everything possible to just give them the looks that were going to confuse them, the blitzes that were going to rattle them. And he did a really, really good job. And they were on their heels, and they did not handle any of it well. And, you know, the Jaguars are going to watch that tape. They're going to try to duplicate some of the same things that the Cowboys did, and the Browns have just got to be ready for it.
All right, Mary Kay, we are locked into not only your social media feeds, but also Cleveland.com. And the Plain Dealer as well, to see what you've got going on, because there's a lot of news going on. So, Mary Kay, we appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Sure, thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hot.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the Free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Deshaun Watson, the center of attention, not only as a quarterback of the team, but now now you have new allegations as he faces a new lawsuit for sexual assault and battery. So we sit here, we contemplate it. Mary Kay, you know, I just said to her, I mean, is he going to play on Sunday? I mean, is that even, I don't think that question is that crazy. Do you?
I think he'll play.
You think he'll play, but is the question of will he play up in the air?
I don't think it is.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm. Okay. And I only say that because, okay, somebody filed a lawsuit. Okay. Has the NFL thoroughly investigated? We don't think so. Have the Browns? We don't think so. Yet. Mm-hmm. So while all that might be going on, you know, there are no legal charges here. I would assume that he plays. I would assume that there's nothing that's here right now that would prevent him from playing.
Yeah, I when I first heard about the story yesterday, I was like, oh, here we go again, because here's another lawsuit that we are hearing about. Now, we've heard about 23 other ones that have been settled before. And Mary Kay had said that they tried to settle with him before, right? Mary Kay did say that. But yet the Browns didn't know this was coming. So maybe Deshaun's people had tried to settle, but then you would think that he would have to disclose to the Browns everything that's going on. Oh, man. There's a lot of gray area there in trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen and what's the league going to do here.
We have no idea.
Like
we talk sports. We don't talk legal. And unfortunately,
we talk legal here. Yeah, well, but we talk about suspensions. We talk about when guys can't play. When they can play, we talk about injuries. We talk about all those things. And now we sit here again with another Deshaun Watson story. You know, is it like the old one? I don't know. I mean, Jeff, you seem pretty confident that this is different or this is not.
I don't know. You know, to me, it's not the same as the others. One of our callers said that sexual allegations.
Yeah,
would be covered under the old agreement. Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe Mike Florio knows. He's going to join us at noon.
Yeah, he'll give us
some answers. From a legal standpoint, what the wording is and then what the real deal is, I don't know. It feels different to me. And you know, with what Mary Kay said about the Browns wanting it to work out, yeah, I agree with that completely, except for one thing. It hasn't worked out yet. You're going to keep your fingers crossed that it works out. And if it doesn't, you have all the financial ramifications you're going to have to deal with. Or if the opportunity presents itself to get out of this, man, I would think they would have to jump on that. I really would.
Well, but if you listen to what Mary Kay said, they want this thing to work out.
Well,
so,
sure. Yeah, absolutely. Except for one thing.
She was kind of vehement about it, too.
It hasn't yet. And you got to risk and reward. Can he be the quarterback that he was in Houston on the football field? Man, if he can, great. Then I wouldn't want to get out of the contract. But have you seen enough that makes you think that that's possible? I would think there's enough doubt there that you would jump at the chance to get out of the contract.
Bill is in Euclid. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for getting me on here.
Hi, Bill. Thank you.
I'd like to go with a positive before I get to Deshaun real quick.
Sure.
Because Joey Cantel that came up and pitched last night.
Yeah.
The last few times he's been up, I don't remember him having a changeup like he did last night. And I'm wondering, you know, because I just remember he was getting hit hard and giving up a lot of home runs the last few starts he's been up here. I was surprised to see that kind of changeup that he had last night, because he had those guys totally off.
Yeah, he had a great night last night, just a great night. We're going
to
talk a little bit more.
Still trying to figure things out, you know, rookie pitcher.
Yeah.
All right, we're talking more Guardians a little bit later in the show. What else you got?
All right, and so the Deshaun thing, okay?
Yeah.
I was in our sales meeting this morning. One of the guys brought up the only reason why this came out now, the way he's playing, they're going to get out of this contract. So everybody in the room is feeling like he's not going to get back to where he was. Haslam's, this is on them. Who's the president of the team? Haslam's wife. Well, she was working at Nordstrom's selling clothes, and now she's president of the Browns. I mean, they brought this
That's not true. I mean,
they brought all this on us. I mean, you know, and here we are, the fans. All we do is get negatives. And it's the fans are going to get tired of hearing this stuff. I mean, we go there to pay good money, spend a lot of money, and after what we saw Sunday, I've seen people walking out of there like they don't want to know if they're going to there. Put all their tickets up for sale, they're not going to come back. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope this turns around. But this kid has had nothing but trouble since he came here, and it's just going to compound and keep following him the rest of his life. I hate to say it, you know, everybody makes mistakes in their life, but if you keep making mistakes after mistakes after mistakes, and this woman, whoever she is, I don't know, but, you know, even if she gets paid, you know, what's going to stop more women from keep coming forward? We don't know. And it's getting to the point where it's like the Housewives of Cleveland. I get to watch that when I come home, and my girlfriend puts that show on, and I got to go to sleep. But I'm telling you guys, this stuff's got to – they got to get beyond this kid.
It's the drama, yeah. All right, thank you, Bill. Bill and you can check it in. I don't even know where to go. You sit here and just try to figure it out. I'd like to hear, we can't figure it out.
We're two guys sitting in a studio. We don't know anything about what happened in the incident 4 years ago.
Right.
We're just looking at everything that has been reported and filed.
Yeah, I can't believe it wasn't weighing in on him for Sunday, and I can't believe that, you know, if they knew this was going on, you have to assume his teammates knew what was going on too. Somebody had to know. I mean, I don't know.
I'm not going to sit here and assume that.
And
if it was weighing on him Sunday, okay, he's had a lot of other lawsuits that have been settled that I'm sure have been weighing on him and probably continue to weigh on him. I mean, this is just something that he's obviously been dealing with for a long period of time.
Roman's in Canton. Hi, Roman.
Hey, fellas.
Hey,
Roman. Just wanted to call in and make a couple points here. One, is this not Browns football? I mean, guys.
Why can't we have nice things? That was another thing I thought of this morning.
48 hours. The last 48 hours, you know, we can count on Monday. So think of how excited everybody was going into the game on Sunday, and then the complete reversal. I mean, guys, we can't be surprised anymore about this. So as a realistic Browns fan that I like to think that I am, we have to take it week by week. And that includes, you know, who's playing quarterback, who's playing left tackle. Obviously, there were some missteps and some things game-wise that we could have done better. Sure, that's a Stefanski thing. With Deshaun, I don't care what happens or what the league decides to do at this point. I know a lot of people are just exhausted from simply having him on the team, you know, let alone the play that he's had. But him being on the team has been exhausting. I'm sure it has for the front office and everybody else, but it's just not paying off for what we have paid for. And no matter what happens, I think the Browns should just cut ties. I think this has to be the last season that he's on the team, because this isn't going to stop. It clearly hasn't. The only consistent thing about Deshaun and this offense has been its inconsistency. So it's a tough spot to be in. It stinks, but we also have to remember it's week one. We have a full season of a great defense that we have, and Dallas wasn't a scrub.
They were good. Roman, thank you. Roman, checking in from Canton. I want to sneak one more phone call in here. Phil is in Brecksville. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Andy. Hey. You know, it's funny. I got a chance to listen to Joe Thomas yesterday, and I was really interested in it because it's the first time that he's really not affiliated with the Browns. You know, last year he was a commentator, and so they asked him point blank what happened, and the first thing he said was, you know, when the offensive linemen don't know where the quarterback's going to be, he said that leads to confusion. And he said when, you know, when someone's playing for their contract and they're a little skittish, you know, that makes the offensive line a little skittish, and it's just not a good look. That kind of, you know, from Joe Thomas, that had to come from somebody from the line. He also said they also asked him about the motion of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
He said that they were supposed to have this multiple motion team or offense, and he said he was asked they were last in the league in motion before the snap. He said, "What happened?" Joe Thomas said that when you put motion in, he said the offensive line has to identify the protections and the quarterback has to identify the protections. And he said they probably felt they weren't comfortable doing one or the other.
Hmm.
So, honestly, that to me, that's Joe Thomas telling you what they're saying.
I mean, offensive line, sure.
Yeah,
okay. And, gotcha, you know, Phil. Phil, thank you. Appreciate it. Phil checking in, giving us his take on what's going on, then kind of giving us a perspective of, you know, obviously a Browns great right there who's in the Hall of Fame. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. Or hit us up on social media at CLE Talking Heads. Mike Florio is going to join us in about a half hour. So he's the one that broke the story on Deshaun Watson yesterday. We will have much more from him and find out his reaction, plus there are other things going on in sports too, so we're going to touch on some of those things. Mike Florio is going to join us coming up at noon. We're going to talk all about what's going on with Deshaun Watson. Obviously, the story broke yesterday from Mike. We had a chance to hear from Mary Kay Cabot a little bit earlier today. Of course, you can hear that interview on the Odyssey app on the Baskin and Phelps podcast, so check that out. Again, Mary Kay Cabot there, and then Mike Florio at noon, and I'm sure he'll have all kinds of he'll have all kinds of stuff on this Deshaun Watson thing. He broke it, and so let's see where this thing's going. I still am hesitant to wonder what the future is with Deshaun Watson and the Browns until we start hearing stuff from the Browns or from the league. And you would think one of the things that would facilitate a change from the norm that we have right now, that you would assume that is it fair to assume that he's playing, he's starting this week, right? As of today, you got to believe that's where they're at.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Unless, you know, the commissioner steps out there and then he ends up getting suspended, or who knows? We've walked down this road before, and I think maybe that's why we're kind of taking one step forward, three steps back, and same, and keep moving forward. But taking your phone calls on this, your thoughts on it, and I the hard part is just looking at the trade and what happened in the beginning, and from a football sense, this has been a lot of drama to go through. For a guy that's got, what, you know, handful of starts in
12
the last
games,
2 years.
Basically.
Yeah. So let's take a couple phone calls. Drake is in Cleveland. Hey, Drake.
Hello,
what's up?
Drake.
How you doing today? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I want to make 2 points, one on the Browns and one on Deshaun Watson personally. But I wanted to ask you a question before I start.
Sure.
So the Browns lost 33-17. The narrative was they got blew out. They looked awful.
Yeah.
The Jets lost 33-19. They said they played well. I'm lost.
The last touchdown made things a little bit closer than they were. One first down in the first half. They had horrible penalties that where you just looked like you weren't organized. There were a lot of places where you can blame the Browns, and not only Deshaun Watson, but the coaching staff, drop passes.
And I would disagree about the Jets. I didn't think they looked great.
So. Right, but the Jets gave up scores on 8 consecutive drives,
yeah,
and never recovered, and yet – The narrative is, well, they'll be all right next game. But the Browns look abysmal, and their season is over. I'm lost. But
Drake, I saw power rankings this morning that had the Browns at 22, which
I never listened to those, Jeff.
Well, I always look at things just to see what people are thinking, Drake. And it was weird to me because the Browns haven't been that low in a long time.
Right.
And after one game to have them drop, that kind of feeds your point, you know.
Back to, I mean, even at 22, and even no matter what the score was, you know, Vegas is saying 8.5 going into the season. So, you know, the Browns are playing right into that, right?
Yep.
Based on the first game. Okay, Drake, what else you got?
It looked bad. Okay, so the Browns, you know, they – everybody said Deshaun Watson had a horrible game, which he did. Even by my standards, I'm a Deshaun Watson apologist. I can admit that. Even by my standards, he was awful. But at the same time, I've seen some things. I've seen Njoku drop a seam route. I've seen him drop an out route that would have at least changed the complexion of the game had he stayed on his feet. I also seen Jerry Jeudy drop a seam route that would have been a first down, and the Browns would have been in Dallas territory. I also seen Deshaun Watson get killed on the play, wait the very last second and drop it right in the bucket to Amari Cooper, and he dropped it. So all of those things didn't contribute to Deshaun Watson looking better, even though they included Deshaun Watson.
No, and six sacks didn't help him either. I mean, his offensive line didn't help him very much at all. They had no running game. I mean, I don't think it's all. I don't think Sunday's loss is all on Deshaun Watson. He just didn't look good. Like, the whole team didn't look good.
Right.
The offense That's looked the out of whack.
Yeah.
That's the narrative. But I do agree that it looked bad. I have to say it looked bad. So y'all got that out of me today.
That was
pulling teeth. But I gave it to you. He looked bad.
All right, Drake.
Thank you, Drake. Oh, yeah. One more thing. Go one more.
To all of the women that were affected by what's going on, we are protectors. We love our women. We definitely want to never hear anything about any woman being wronged. With that being said, why is it that they can only bring out the lawsuits in football season? Like, are you not mad when off season is off? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know that's like kind of crazy to say, but why is it that it's only allegations during the football season?
Drake, you'd have to ask her. She filed the lawsuit. I don't know.
Thanks,
where to,
Drake.
Thank you. Bill in Parma. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
I want to compliment you guys today on the fact that I think you're being very fair and you're approaching this in exactly the right way, which I think is what is needed right now. I'm going to take the conversation a little bit in a different direction. And that is that a good friend of mine, Dr. Alan Lanz, who is the psychiatrist for the New York Mets for years, said about 20 years ago that mental health issues were going to be more detrimental to sports organizations than orthopedic injuries going forward. And if you look in the past, I mean, we can look at Michael Jordan taking time off, Mickey Mantle saying if he hadn't drank as much and took care of himself, Trevor Bauer and the issues that he's had. I mean, you can even say Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, relationship issues, getting off course, all these are mental health issues. Now, why are we having that now? Well, you see contracts in which athletes are getting paid $250, $300 million. And these are to 20-year-old people. And so the problem I have right now in professional sports is the pressure on these people, the amount of scrutiny on these people, and rightfully so, is not being offset by the mental health issues that 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds need to have in this type of situation. You see it all the time. I saw it last week in Travis Kelce's play. He dropped 3 balls in the first half. And you can't tell me that he isn't distracted by the fact that he has a $100 million contract just to do a podcast. So so with this young man, the problem that you're going to have now is, whether he's guilty or not, move it away. It's going to weigh on this team one way or another, just like we're sitting here trying to figure this out. One of the problems I had with Johnny Manziel was, I guarantee you, Jeff, Andy, and I guarantee you guys and me could have gone to Texas A&M and spent a half hour on campus before they drafted him, and we would have found out all this information. Guarantee it.
Hey.
They didn't do it. And then the question is, why? And so there's a lot of issues out there that professional sports are not addressing mental health-wise, and it really bothers me because I think that's the secret going forward and having a successful team.
All right, Bill, thank you. Interesting point. A different directive on that.
It is interesting, and it's real valid.
As he was saying that, I started thinking about like all these child stars that we see in Hollywood and how difficult life becomes for them, too.
They get too much too soon. And I don't mean just money. You know, fame, fortune, attention, being told they're nothing but the best.
Yeah, there's no people around. I got it. Ty. Hi, Ty. How are you?
Good. How you doing today?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I just feel like Deshaun Watson is being targeted right now. You know, with all the stuff going on right now, the bad play, and all the talks about just everything what to do to Deshaun. It just feel like it's nothing ever good to say about him. Like, it's hard to play like that when everybody's just going against you, you know. And if people say they're with them and they're trying to be with them, but it's always something, you know. Like, I'm not saying, like, the things that he do is good, or even if – because they are allegations at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, you know, we have to treat stuff like allegations. When there's something serious like this, they don't treat it like an allegation. They treat it like he already did it. That's basically what I already got to say.
Yeah, I think – I mean, Jeff and I have tried. That's – I'm waiting to hear what Deshaun has to say. And if Deshaun – if this isn't true, I want to hear him say it, you know. Jeff and I have been saying since the beginning, it's like there's all, if no matter what story it is, whether it's Deshaun or anything else, there's one side of the story and there's another side of the story. And right. As we've said, Jeff and I have said numerous times today, we're just hearing one side of the story so far.
Exactly. It's always kind of been like that. It's always kind of been one side of the story. Because if he even do come out and say he didn't do it, it's still going to be people out here past thinking he did it, you know. And to be honest, you can say anything. A lot of women nowadays can say anything, and, you know, people are going to believe what they say. But that's a whole different conversation. But that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ty. I appreciate your perspective on stuff. All right. Mike Florio is going to join us next, Jeff. And, you know, we're kind of sitting here expecting, you know, Mike to – I think Mike's going to have a lot of answers, or at least give us some direction on where this could go in the future. He always has before, and the beauty of it is he's a lawyer too. So he understands the intricacies of what we're talking about, and he broke the story yesterday. So we will talk to Mike Florio. He's also got his book out, Son of Mine. It's on Amazon right now. But Mike Florio broke the story. Pro Football Talk next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.